Thanks, Mels. Awesome job. Well done. You seem to be handling the service leading very well. The next step is preaching. So just a thought, because at home you're never short of anything to say. You might have noticed I got a haircut this week. Thank you. Yes. What do you call 100 rabbits hopping backwards? Ah, boom, boom. Receding hairline. Okay. But Kemi, did you hear in the news this week that two young men were caught stealing? One stealing fireworks and one stealing batteries. No, you didn't hear that? They decided to charge one and let the other one off. There you go. That aside, a couple of weeks ago I spent some time, as my usual practice, try and a couple of times a year just get away for a week-long retreat. So I go Monday and come back Friday, just try and spend time just listening to God, take time to rest if I need to rest, do some reading, look at my journals, kind of catch up with myself and then just do some thinking and gives God some space to move. I've been going to a little place that I found, which I really love. It's in the Hunter Valley, and it's right next to Audrey Wilkinson Winery, if you know that, which is a very nice drop. Not that I went there, except on the way home I bought a bottle. But the little cottage that I have overlooks the back part of the winery. So you're just sitting on the little veranda and looking at the vineyards and got your open fire going, and it's just a very conducive kind of space for retreating. So looking at a winery, looking at vineyards, I just felt the Lord speak to me a little bit about think about John 15 that week, which is all about Jesus is the vine and we're the branches. And so I spent a fair bit of time just reading, rereading, thinking, meditating on that passage that week, and just felt that that whole idea of fruitfulness is a key theme in the Bible. And I just felt that this morning was something we're in between kind of series. We're going to start a Holy Spirit series in a couple of weeks. Just felt the Lord wanted me to share a few things a bit out of that today. So I've called this the remainder to be fruitful, as in not the reminder to be fruitful, but the remainder to be fruitful, because Jesus says remain in me. So I like puns, so maybe that will stick with you. The first thing I want to say about fruitfulness is this, is that we were created to be fruitful. So think about that. We were created to be fruitful. Why is that important? Because sometimes we don't think that our lives are producing much fruit, and we get frustrated with where we're at in terms of the whole process. We need to come back and remind ourselves about our purpose, and that part of our purpose is to be fruitful. Right back in the beginning of Genesis, several times in Genesis 1, 28, 9, verse 1, 35, verse 11, God said, "Then God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply." Now, you might make the mistake to just associate that with reproduction, and there's an essence of that in that. But that aside, God says to each of us and to creation and to humankind, be fruitful, and multiply. Maybe that's reproduction, obviously, in terms of increasing creation. But there's a sense we put that aside. It's also to each of us to be fruitful and to multiply what we carry. Paul, in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 11, he says, "May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ, for this will bring much glory and praise to God." You see, when Christ's life is in us, there's something that should take place. That's a fruitfulness of our salvation. Salvation is not just about a ticket to heaven. It's actually about glorifying God, and our part of our purpose is to be fruitful because of the life of Christ that's in us. That's part of the purpose, that we live to give glory to God by what comes out of us. In Colossians 1:10, Paul says, "Then the way you live will always honour and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit." And so our lives, again, were designed to produce every kind of good fruit by the way we live our life because of Jesus within us. And then Paul also in Romans 7 verse 4 says, "So brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, another, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit to God. So part of the reason that Jesus died and rose from the dead for us and invites us into relationship with him is that we might bear fruit for God. And then lastly, in John chapter 15 and verse 8, John says, when you produce much fruit, or Jesus says, when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples, and this brings glory to God. I hope you're noticing the theme here. Glory to God comes from fruitfulness. It's not just about what we say. It's not just about our worship. It's actually about what comes out of our life. That in itself brings glory and honor to God. And here in John 15, Paul is saying, when our lives produce fruit, we bring glory to God. Because what we're actually doing is representing the life of Jesus in us, and we're showing the difference that Jesus makes in us, and when we show that in a fruitfulness, we're bringing glory to God. See that fruit? That's God's glory. Honor him. That only can happen through Jesus working within us. And Jesus says that actually to be a follower of Jesus or a disciple of his, it actually means to bear fruit, which then gives glory. So if we're serious about making disciples, if we're serious about being disciples, we have to also be serious about bearing fruit. So coming back to what I said at the beginning, it would be a great place to make a declaration over your life. I am a fruitful person. My life always bears fruit and brings glory to God. If you find yourself in a position right now where you're feeling stuck, feeling confused, what's the purpose of my life? Where is my life? That would be an awesome declaration to just start saying, my life bears fruit and always brings glory to God, because that's the truth of who we are, even though we may not be there actually yet. The second thing about fruitfulness I want to suggest to you is that a tree is identified by its fruit. So I need just five trees right now, five people to be a tree for me just now up the front, if that's okay. Just come stand, just stand along the front here. Three trees. Are there any female trees? awesome. Okay, I see we have all mature trees. Okay. You just hold those. Okay, yep, you. Good job. Hold those. Thank you. Don't suck on it, Joe.
Two of the trees are related.
So a tree is identified by its fruit. So if I said to you, this is Kevin, he is a banana tree. Awesome, good job.
Thank you.
If I said this is Bill and he is a
apple tree.
I said this is Joe and he is a
lime tree.
Lime tree. I said this is Matt, he is a awesome. I said, this is Judy, and she is a
Jesus tree.
You seem to struggle with that one. This is Judy, she is a
Jesus tree.
Awesome. You see, we identify a tree by its fruit. If it's got bananas on it, it's a banana tree. If it's got limes on it, it's a lime tree, or an apple tree, or an orange tree. Jesus says, thanks. So I was wrong. Okay, that's it. You put your fruit down. Thanks, people. You can sit. Thank you. Awesome trees. Give him a round of applause. Thank you for branching out. When you squeeze an orange tree, you get oranges. When you peel a banana from a banana tree, you get bananas. What happens when we're squeezed as a disciple of Jesus? Do we get Jesus juice? Because a tree is identified by its fruit. So the idea is if we imagine that we're all trees and we're all growing the fruit of Jesus in us, what happens when our tree is picked? What fruit comes off it? It's the sense of, particularly when we're under pressure, because that's the time we really tell when a tree, what it bears. What comes off it when it's under pressure? Does it still squeeze Jesus juice? We also have to remember that it's still an apple tree, even though it may not have apples on it in season. It doesn't not be an apple tree just because it doesn't have actual fruit on it, but it's still in the process of producing fruit. So there are seasons for fruit and fruitlessness in that sense. But Luke says in Luke 6, 43, 44, a good tree can't produce bad fruit and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. A tree is identified by its fruit. John also says in John 15, 2, he cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. So there's three kinds of fruit, good fruit, bad fruit, and no fruit. We're one of those. And it's not so much good or bad in that sense, I think. I think it's more about, do we contain the fruitfulness of Jesus or do we not contain the fruitfulness of Jesus in that sense? It's about relationship, not so much about the rigidity of doing the good things and the bad things. It's more about where is our relationship with Jesus at? Is it producing fruit? Is it fruitless? What's happening? Because it should be producing fruit or in the process of producing fruit. And I guess the question about that is, what would we and then others identify by our fruit? You know that sense where you're dealing with some people and you don't know anything about them, but you just notice about their interactions or you just notice about the way they speak or the things they do, and you kind of start to think, I think this person actually could believe in Jesus. You know that kind of thing, and then you start to get to know them a bit and you say, hey, are you a Christian at all? Oh yeah, actually I am. You've picked up something about them that indicates there's a fruitfulness in their life that leads you to think they could belong to Jesus. And then there are other people that we kind of just, you know, we wrongly kind of make assumptions about, maybe by their language or maybe by their actions, or we go, I'm pretty sure they're not a Christian. And what leads us to make that deduction about them? We often, if we're thinking about that, it's probably by the fruit that we see about them. So I guess that's in a sense about if we're being disciples of Jesus and thinking about us functioning in the workplace or the marketplace, what are those we work with? When I'm doing midwifery in a hospital, what are those in the ward or those that I'm delivering babies? What are they? What fruit of Jesus are they seeing? When I'm in the business world, when I'm teaching a class, when I'm on a Navy ship, you know, when I'm being a professor, whatever it is, whatever I'm called to do, what is the fruit that's coming out of me when I'm in my normal world? What are people picking off my tree, so to speak? Because a tree is identified by its fruit. And again, it's not so much about right or wrong, good or bad. It's about what do we need to be doing to make sure that our fruitfulness is being able to be picked or seen. Maybe it's a stock take about how would my life, if I was thinking about me or describing me in the workplace, or how would I describe myself right now? Like, would I describe myself in a way that is fruitful or that others could see or identify the fruit that's coming from my life? Or would they just think that I'm one of a crowd and no different? The third thing I just want to say about fruitfulness is about pruning. And pruning, I want to suggest to you, is a necessary process of producing more fruit. John in John 15 verse 1 to 2 says, Jesus says, I am the true grapevine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they'll produce even more. The Greek word for pruning is katharo, and it also means cleansing. It's almost like a stripping back. Pruning is when you actually selectively remove branches from a tree. The goal is to remove the unwanted branches, it's to improve the tree's structure, and it's actually to direct the new healthy growth. When you remove old branches, you give trees, in a sense, the green light to produce new growth. We have a hedge and I don't even know, Nico, what's that bush at the back of our place? He's gone missing. Oh, there he is. I don't even know what it's called, but it's
a Jesus tree.
Yeah, that's it. And Every now and again I get my hedge trimmer and trim the Jesus tree. And I have to cut it back because it grows wild and it grows wool. It looks like woolly and wild. And every now and again I have to get the hedge trimmer and trim it and shape it. Otherwise it grows out of shape into this nice little round bowl, and I have to hedge trim my hedges. And each time I do that, not only does it look nice, but then it comes back with even more thick growth, particularly in the spring and the summer season. And that's what keeps it like thick and healthy and grow. It's the same with my lawn. If you want a really good lawn, you have to cut your lawn regularly, particularly in the summer. You cut it, you water it, you let the sun grow. Yes, it grows again, then you cut it. But that's how you get a thick, healthy lawn with a really good root system, by keep infusing it to grow and get it to grow and get it to grow, cut it back, get it to grow, get it to grow, get it to grow, cut it back, get it to grow. That's how you get more growth, by cutting it back and pruning it. Pruning is one of the best things you can do for trees. A proper prune is an investment in the long-term health of your plants. So if you want to produce fruit in our lives, therefore, to live fruitful lives, we must undergo this pruning process. Pruning, then, I suggest to you, is not actually an option if you want to embrace fruitfulness. Therefore, maybe this whole idea of thinking about some of the things that happen in our life and resisting them or complaining about them or, God, why is this happening to me? Maybe if we looked at it and asked the question, God, are you pruning me right now? Might be a better place for help us to take hold of what's happening in our life and to actually realize that there's a process of pruning that's going on that's actually going to produce more fruitfulness from our life in the days to come. And if we want to be a disciple, it's inevitable that we have to be pruned. So there's a sense where I would encourage us to embrace that. I love pruning, and say, I love it. It's not always easy. It's not always, it doesn't always feel good. It can feel hard. It can be uncomfortable. It can be stretching. Sometimes it can be even painful. And you know that sense when you first get a haircut and you feel a little bit, you feel a little vulnerable because you've lost all your hair. Or that sense that when you get pruned, you're a bit naked. You're a bit I feel a little bit fragile right now. The same in that whole process, that when God is in a pruning process with us, it can sometimes feel fragile, or we can feel vulnerable because we're missing some of the default comforts that we're used to that restrict our growth. And so when those things are taken away and we're pruned back in order for new growth, there's a little transitional period that can sometimes stretch us and make us feel a bit uncomfortable in that process. But it is a necessary process in order to receive the fruitfulness that God is wanting to do in our life. We have to see the bigger picture of the intention of the pruning so that there's a sense there's purpose in the pain. So it'd be good for us to think about, what might God be pruning in me right now? What might he be stripping back in me right now in order to make me more fruitful in the future? What are the old branches or old thinking or patterns of behaviour might need to be removed? What have been sticking around that have grown dead and been hanging on for too long that actually need to be cut off so that new growth can emerge? And where does there need to be a green light for growth in my life right now? Because that's probably where the pruning will start to take place. The last thing I want to say about fruitfulness is the secret of fruitfulness is position, position, and position. It's probably the most important part of fruitfulness. In Psalm 1 and verse 1 to 3, Dave says, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do." Think about that for a minute. Think about yourself as one of these trees. Think about where you may be planted or where you may want to plant yourself. Think about your root system and where it's going. Here, these trees are planted beside the riverbank. So their roots are going down into the river. And it says they're positioned there, and they do two things. They delight in the Lord, and they delight in His Word. They delight in the Lord, and they delight in His Word. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit every season. There's a thing here, it's about positioning. There's about delighting in the Lord, delighting in His Word, bearing fruit every season. Then Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, puts it in a similar way. He picks up the same theme. He says, "But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and made the Lord their hope and confidence. They're like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit." Again, this image, trees beside the river, roots going deep down into the water. What I love about that is that they never stop producing fruit. And notice what the prophet Jeremiah says in that. They're not bothered by the heat and they're not worried about long months of drought. The heat, you know, those pressure situations, the things that come at us, the struggles, the challenges, the temptations or the issues that come, or the times where there's kind of that sense of drought where we kind of feel in those places, maybe we're in the wilderness or we haven't heard from God for a while, or where's God speaking to us, or like just kind of almost like there's you kind of those seasons where you go through the motions a little bit, but it's kind of like still tracking with stuff. But there's not the thunderbolt of lightning coming in and God doing amazing things every day type season. It's in those times, just like the Jesus tree fruit, it's in those times we need to make sure our position is such that we're by the river, our roots are going down deep, and our tree is still growing irrespective of what is happening around us, so that we never stop producing fruit. And I guess that's part of the key of being a disciple, learning how to manage our own walk with Jesus, in that sense that we know where the well is, we know where to drink from, we know how to position ourselves to make sure our roots are going down deep, that it's not about the next conference or it's not about the next sermon or it's not about some other devotional. It's that we've learnt the art of positioning and feeding ourselves well, that no matter what season, we will still produce fruit. Maybe that's something we need to think about in this season. Where am I positioned? How am I feeding? How am I drawing? And maybe then working from the problem back guy, why aren't you here? Why aren't you helping in this? Maybe we need to go back to where am I positioned so that I can receive the flow to produce fruit and start there rather than start, why is it not happening over there? Where are we planting ourselves? And then not only that, what environment for growth are we enabling? And what is the root system drawing from? Of a saying in coaching, and it says root to fruit. Whatever the roots are, that's what will grow the fruit. See, the wrong root system, you'll grow the wrong fruit. If your roots are into bad stuff, you'll produce the bad fruit. If your roots are into the right stuff, you'll produce the right stuff. A tree is identified by its fruit, and its fruit come from the root system initially. You can't have your root system in pornography and still then try and wonder why I don't live this life of purity and holiness. You can't have your roots in fraud and dishonesty and lying and cheating and then still wonder why I don't live this life of integrity or why others don't trust me. You can't have your roots in fear and anxiety and all that and still wonder why I don't have this sense of confidence or belief or hope and trust in Jesus or faithfulness. Roots to fruit. Position. And then finally, John 15, 4 to 5, he says, "Remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine. and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. There it is in a nutshell, the position. Remain in me and I will remain in you. Promise and exhortation. Remain in me and I will remain in you, Jesus says. In the first 10 verses of John 15, remain in me occurs 10 times. It's a reasonably important theme of Jesus. Remain in me, I remain in you. Remain can also be translated abide, so that sense of abiding. And it says a branch cannot bear fruit if it's severed from the vine, and we cannot bear fruit if we're severed from Jesus, if we're not abiding in Jesus. So there's my remainder to remain. It's hard, isn't it, in an instantaneous world to stay remained or remain in an instantaneous world. I get frustrated if the internet's too slow. Come on! I get frustrated if there's not enough, if I have to cut back to 3G instead of 4G. And I don't even have 5G, I'm looking forward to when that happens. We get frustrated if our Macca's order is too slow. I get frustrated if the traffic is too slow. I get frustrated if someone or something is late, and that's often usually me. I get frustrated if I have to get held up in a queue. And sometimes we get so frustrated when we're in a queue, we just abort what we're in the queue for because we have to wait too long. Because we can't remain another 5-10 minutes to get it. We just come back another time. Remain in the Greek means this, to linger, to indwell, to stay, to rest, to settle, to be in close and settled union. The Passion Translation translates it, to remain in life union, and I will remain in life union with you. There's a great example of what it means to remain in the Old Testament. If you remember the people of Israel, as they travelled, they would take with them the tent of meeting. And Moses would go and he'd get out the tent of meeting and he'd put it up and he'd go and he'd meet with God in the tent. And that's where he'd meet with God face to face. And Exodus 33:11, you see that inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one who speaks to a friend. And afterward, Moses would return to the camp. But here's the thing, but the young man who assisted him, Joshua, son of Nun, would remain behind in the tent of meeting. Joshua was learning what it was to remain. And he reaped the fruitfulness of that. If you start to read Joshua, you'll read the fruitfulness of Joshua's life because of the times that he remained in the tent of meeting. He didn't just have a conversation. He remained, he lingered, he stayed, he indwelled, he waited, he remained in the presence of God. And so we say, if we have the right center, we'll have the right circumference. Intimacy with God comes with where we position ourselves in the center, remain in him, and he will remain with us. I'm a bit of a long bow, but I'm wondering if there's anyone that's a plank expert here. You know, do a plank. Anyone could do a plank at all? Hey? Tracy, would you like to just come and do a plank? Just for 30 seconds. Well, maybe a minute. If you can go a minute. Okay, we'll time her then. Okay, go. All right. So she's planking. If you've never planked before, the art is to get a straight back line. Bum down, like Tracy, like just nice straight back. And you'll start to feel, maybe you could do 15, 20 seconds, maybe you could do 30 seconds. You'll see Tracy's gut muscles in a minute, abdominal muscles start to shake. Just a little bit longer, Tracy. You can do it. This is what your personal trainer would say. Just a little bit longer, Tracy. Just wait there a little bit longer. Just a little bit longer. And you're starting to shake and you get the shakes and that's it. Thanks, Tracy. Good job. See, the art of doing a good plank is to start planking. If you want to plank longer, you've got to plank. You won't be able to plank if you don't plank, okay? I once did a planking challenge, and I did get up to six-minute planks, okay? But I didn't get to six-minute planks on day two or three or four or five. I got to six-minute planks after a month because I started, like Tracy, with just doing a plank for 30 seconds a day for a few days. And then I increased it to 45 seconds and then a minute. And then once my abdominals started to increase in strength, I went to minute and a half and 2 minutes. And then by the end of the month, I was planking for 6 minutes. I could stay there in that position and it would be about five minutes-ish before my guts would start to shake again and I would feel it. The reason I give you that example is because we don't kind of start remaining in the Lord all of a sudden with this big, long 6 minute plank or 6 minute kind of thing. It's actually something we have to learn. A lot of the behaviors in the Christian life and discipleship are things we have to learn, and we have to learn them by practice. They don't come out of a book. They don't come as a divine lightning bolt from God. They come because the Spirit of God speaks to us and highlights something to us as important and then says, you need to cultivate this in your life, and therefore then we have to grow it. Fruit doesn't come overnight. It's a process of seeding and planting, creating an environment for growth, and then however many weeks later or years later for a tree, you get the tree and then you get the fruit and it comes in season. It's something we have to cultivate and be intentional about now if we want to get the fruit later. It doesn't just happen. You have to start with planking a little bit and be intentional about giving time and space to it and having sore abdominal muscles, and maybe they cramp as well here and there until you get up and build the strength. But once you build the strength of that abdominal set, your whole back will start to strengthen. Your legs will start to strengthen. Strong abdominal muscles have so many benefits for you from the bottom to the top of your body. They impact the whole structure of your body. That's why it's so important to strengthen them. They help you in your running, in your walking, in your stamina, in your capacity, in your fitness, in just your well-being, in your sleep. In every part of your body, your abdominal muscles are your core. And if you have a strong core, you have a strong body. And in that sense, when we are fruitful, when we're starting to take notice and be intentional about our fruit, we will start to produce a life of fruitfulness. And that, remember, is what we're created for. Remain in Him, and He will remain in us. Be like a tree planted beside a river. Put your roots down deep, so that you will be able to withstand the heat and the drought and bear fruit in every season. Let's go invite Nico up and Dave. Sorry, Dave, Nico didn't tell you about this, but we have a plan. You just play guitar awesomely like you normally do. You'll be good. I want to just give us a bit of space just to remain. Maybe just 5 minutes. And for some, that might feel like an incredibly long time.